Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting. Kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master show. Another week just flew by, and here we are again talking about hacking the annual wheel of finance. This time we are trying to move a bit forward in time and look ahead instead of just looking back at month ends and year ends and actually looking at quarterly forecasting. Let's try to jump into it. Quarterly forecasting, your view of the future. We just released the blog post this morning on LinkedIn. So in case you want to read it, you can also find it in the newsletter. If you haven't subscribed to the newsletter, go and do that. Join more than 300,000 people having subscribed to the newsletter Trends in Finance and Accounting. Wow, that's also amazing. So thanks a lot for doing that also. But let's dig into it. We live in a volatile environment where visibility is often limited. Most companies have abandoned the idea that a budget is sufficient to provide that visibility. Continuous update of the full year estimate are also deemed to fall short of expectations. That's why most companies have taken up rolling forecasting in the past decade. I myself have been part of implementing a rolling forecasting process in a company I previously worked in. This ensures you always have a forecast that extends beyond the current year and lets you calculate your performance runway and check if you're indeed on the hockey stick trajectory you plan in your strategy. Speaking of strategy, we'll talk about that next week when speaking about strategic planning, so stay tuned also for that. However, there's a flip side to rolling forecasting. In many companies, it has grown into a 4 to 6 week process that consumes a lot of corporate resources. To many, it feels like doing the budget 4 times per year. This is obviously not what was intended. So it's perhaps time to remind everyone of some best practices for rolling forecasting and provide some hacks to improve the process. To learn about the adaptation on rolling forecasting, we ran a recent poll on LinkedIn. 58% said, yes, we are doing rolling forecasting. 25% said no, and 17% didn't know what a rolling forecast is. And sure, maybe there are some following that don't know about finance, so perhaps those are the ones. But most finance professionals know what it is, and obviously more than half have implemented already. So this confirms our hypothesis that rolling forecasting is widespread, but our follow-up also showed that there's a significant potential to improve forecasting in companies worldwide. So let's start by realigning on some best practices for doing rolling forecasting. Number one, clear objectives. Define clear objectives with your rolling forecast process and ensure that it has a set place in your company's standard operating model. Number two, forecast horizon. Determine a forecast horizon that aligns with your business cycle. Most companies choose a 5-quarter horizon when they first implemented rolling forecasts. However, don't blindly follow this approach. Driver-based. The rolling forecast should be built on a driver-based model for easy updates, faster scenario analysis, and easier drill down and follow up on performance. Cross-company. Don't make it an isolated finance exercise, but include input from your S&OP process, HCM, headcount management process, and other planning processes, and involve them when discussing the outputs and action planning from the forecast process. Leverage technology. If this is a frequent and repeatable process, be sure to run it on some proper technology. Spreadsheets won't cut it in the long run. Accuracy and relevance. Accept that your forecast won't be accurate and instead spend your time and efforts on the issues that are relevant to improving company performance. Measure accuracy, but don't punish or reward people for the outcomes. Instead, learn why you're inaccurate to drive continuous improvement. And finally, scenario planning. Develop more than just one scenario when you create your rolling forecast. As a minimum, have a base, high, and low scenario, but also be ready to do event-specific scenarios. Always helpful. These are the most important best practices. Yet, implementing a rolling forecast is a bigger project that requires quite some dedication and commitment from the entire organization, from top management to team leaders and individuals. Perhaps it's an extensive process to implement. It also becomes an extensive process to run. Quickly, it defeats the purpose of having an agile process that quickly gives you a glimpse into the future for your company. That's why we need to look at some hacks to improve the process. But before that, I'm curious, do you have a rolling forecast in your company? We also have Ibul here asking what automation can be adopted to gather all relevant information from budgeting and forecasting reports from respective departments. It's been a pain collecting information from different teams. I fully get that. And especially if you're doing this through Excel-based templates, you create a template, you send it out via email, and you get something back and they have added a line so it doesn't consolidate with the other templates you get back. There's plenty of planning tools out there. And if you're a smaller company, there's a lot of third generation planning tools as well. If you want more insights into the planning tool market, especially the third generation planning tool market, feel free to reach out to me and I will share our third generation planning guide with you without any cost added, where you can then dig into some of these tools that are very cost effective and a lot of them built on top of Excel, so it's easy to, or spreadsheets, so it's easy to implement as well. Don't be a stranger, just reach out and I'm happy to share some of those. We have a LinkedIn user here saying, no, they don't have a rolling forecast. Okay, so let's talk about 5 hacks to improve quarterly forecasting. As we have been doing throughout this series here, we'll try to focus on practical and implementable hacks. But since we've already shared some best practices in this article here, we'll dare to be a bit bolder this time. You can then tell me if I'm bold or not, but that's a different story. So the first hack is agile forecasting. Implement agile methodologies in forecasting by creating small cross-functional teams responsible for specific parts of the forecast. Use iterative cycles with rapid updates. Hack number 2, leverage AI. Okay, that's seems like a no-brainer these days, but okay. Deploy AI and machine learning algorithms to predict future outcomes based on historical data and current trends. You can use platforms like DataRobot or Amazon Forecast or Azure ML to automate the forecasting process and continuously improve accuracy through learning. Hack number 3, real-time forecasting. Use systems that integrate and update forecasts in real time based on transactional data. Enable continuous forecast updates instead of periodic ones, providing always current insights. Hack number 4, forecasting COEs. COE stands for Center of Excellence. Establish a COE to develop best practices, tools, and methodologies for forecasting across the organization. Focus on continuous improvement, training, and innovation in forecasting. It doesn't mean that the whole organization won't necessarily be involved in forecasting from time to time, but a lot of the forecasting process can actually be done centrally. So why not put that in a COE? Finally, digital humans. Use AI-driven digital humans, or virtual assistants, if you will, to conduct forecasting, meetings, provide insights, and even make recommendations based on forecast data. Digital humans can answer questions and generate reports using natural language, making the forecasting process more intuitive. It can probably even challenge your forecasting process if the numbers that you forecast are not aligned with what's expected in a strategy. We're particularly excited about the digital humans option, and don't think for a second it's unreal. This has already been showcased by Microsoft CFO Amy Hood years ago, and it's what's being built into all AI assistants today. I spent some time at SAP Sapphire not so long ago, seeing what their AI assistant Joule can do, and you'd be amazed. You can query anything about your data. Of course, you need to have your data in a state that is actually usable, but it's possible today. So there's cause to be optimistic for implementing any of these hacks. Question to you, how long does your forecast process take to run? And how frequently do you run it? While you think about that, let's talk about how to implement these hacks. So these hacks are independent of each other, but will usually increase the effectiveness of each other as well. And maybe some of them, perhaps agile forecasting and forecasting COEs, could be competing hacks even. But let's show how to implement these. So in terms of agile forecasting, you first need to create the cross-functional teams, these small dedicated teams to handle their specific parts of the forecast. Then have them work on iterative cycles, use maybe, could be 2 to 4 week sprints, but maybe shorter perhaps, it could even be a week, focus on priority areas. And then every day you have regular standups where you do short daily meetings to discuss progress and remove roadblocks. For AI, prepare the data, collect and clean historical data. Choose your tools. We mentioned some, but there's a ton of others you can use. Train your model to predict the trends and then integrate that into your forecasting workflow. For real-time forecasting, you need to set up real-time data feeds. So integrate to your existing systems, but it could also be external data sources. Find automation tools so that it actually doesn't have to have humans to run the process. And there's lots of tools that can do that, Alteryx, Tableau, just to name a few. And then do continuous monitoring, right? Because obviously you should do something with the data you have available. You can probably even build automated alerts that will alert you when trends are moving unfavorably. Forecasting series could be a bit of a longer implementation cycle, but create a dedicated team responsible for developing best practices in tools and forecasting. Standardization, create standardized templates, could be in spreadsheets, of course, but usually in systems and models for use across departments. And then do training where needed to ensure that the CUE and the other input providers of the forecast are ready to do that. Finally, on the digital human part, select and customize your platform. So choose the digital human platform. And there's lots of to do there as well. IBM Watson as an example. And tailor digital avatars to your business context. Integrate data systems, connect your forecasting tools and data sources to the digital human for real-time interaction and updates. Develop natural language processing capabilities. Train your digital human to understand forecasting models and respond to user queries using natural language processing. And finally, deploy and refine. So launch the digital human for interactive forecasting and gather user feedback and continuously improve their knowledge and responses. I'm getting excited about this. I don't know. Are you getting excited about this? Maybe give a thumbs up, like, whatever we can do on the various platforms. Curious to hear that as well. I can see we are getting a few responses in here quarterly, and it takes 1 month. Okay, yeah, so that's 4 months a year that's going taking up time with forecasting here from Mamat. We have 4 to 6 weeks here from Mahip as well. Monthly basis from Islam. Weekly forecast even. Okay, so I hope they don't take a month to run. That would be a bit paradoxical at least. Maybe it could take a few hours then. We have Niasi here, Abman, saying, is there any software in market that help connect FP&A with other departments to get data to prepare budgets and forecast? Yes, a lot of tools available for that. I'm not doing too many shout outs here, but I'm actually doing a webinar in 40 minutes with Jedox, one of those providers, and they definitely focus a lot on what we call integrated business planning. So basically gathering this input from across the company and running all these different forecasting processes in parallel. But yes, getting data in Excel, I can see it from Appman as well, is not an ideal way to do this. So yes, lots of tools are available. Reach out if you want some insight into the market. I'm not going to give specific tool recommendations, but many of them can solve your issues. So thanks a lot for sharing as well and leaning in with lots of questions and input today. But many companies have already started leveraging some of these hacks, not least forecasting using machine learning. The aim should be to reduce your forecasting cycle to around 1 week. Of course, if you do it weekly, maybe a few hours, ideally. Not only will this cut a lot of corporate waste, but it will also enable you to forecast on demand. Instead of a predefined forecasting cycle, you only forecast when unexpected events occur, or you actually stray too far from your latest trade forecast. This could be biannually or monthly, depending on the current volatility in your market. These hacks will undoubtedly be an upgrade to your existing process. But even if you're not in the mood for picking up these hacks, you can simply apply the best practices we've also outlined. So final question for you, which of these hacks could you consider implementing? And perhaps do you have any other hacks you'd like to share? And if you don't get to share them here on the live stream, you can always leave them in the comments on LinkedIn or on YouTube, and we'll pick them up later on when the videos gets circulated. Next week, we will talk about strategic planning. So the biggest opportunity, I would say, to make an impact as finance professionals, but probably the one we spend the least time on. Everything else we have been talking about probably should be feeding into that. But at the end of the day, strategic value creation is the highest form of value creation in companies because we make huge choices that have a huge impact on how we run the company. So I hope to see you next week. Also next week, we're back with the topic of strategic planning. And until then, you can always catch me on LinkedIn. My name is Anders Leo Lindberg, and I'm tuning out from the Hashtag Finance Master Show for this week. Hope to see you again next week.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting.